whatsoever. Of course, unless the phone goes off. Y'all know what happens if the phone goes off, if it starts ringing when there's a prayer time, there's a fine of $20. And if it starts ringing when we're taking up the offering, it's a fine of $50. And if it starts ringing during the preaching, you're going to hell. I mean, I don't know if you know that. That's what it is. we got a video of that happening in a church. It's a great video. We need to show it again sometime. It's a great reminder. You know, we can't live without our phones, it seems like, and we have them with us most of the time in our purse or our pocket. And we're not expecting a call on Sunday morning, but sometimes it happens. And if it's on buzz or something like that, that's a little bit better for the folks sitting around you. We go to the Word of God today. As I say this, let me just also remind you that if you don't set your clocks back next Saturday night, you're going to be messed up on your time for church. It's here already. Next weekend is the what we call fall back, right? Spring forward and fall back. So we're going to fall back. We're going to turn back our clocks. Our timepiece is 1 hour. Now, you can't do it until midnight on Saturday night. So set your alarms. Wake up at midnight. No, I'm just kidding. Saturday night, set that clock back an hour, and you'll be here on time at the right time on Sunday morning. The Word of God. Praise God for His Word. Amen. Say these words with me. Let's say them together. It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. We say amen to that. We begin today with the sermon that is entitled The Eclipse of a Soul. We'll look at John's Gospel, John chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 7, 17 through 30, and then 32 through 44. We'll have all of these verses for you on the PowerPoint to read along or follow along in the Word of God. Beginning with verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea. And we skip forward to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Now we'll skip to verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. What an incredible story, amen. The title of the sermon, The Eclipse of a Soul, the word eclipse means to obscure or block out light. We've seen solar eclipses. Those occur when the position of the earth and the moon is such that the moon begins to be between the earth and the sun, and the shadow of the moon then falls on the earth and it wipes out the light that's coming from the sun, and there's temporary shadow or temporary darkness. This story represents a shadow or a temporary darkness in the heart of Mary. Mary, whose heart had been full of life and light, suddenly has a shadow over it, darkness over it. And it's one of the most touching and, I think, encouraging stories of the Bible. All of humanity, at one time or another, has felt the grief of losing someone you love to death. Nearly every person in this room understands that grief. We've all dealt with it at one time. Tragedy has come to Mary of Bethany. It has come in the form of two crushing events. One is that her brother, whom she loved, has died. And secondly, in her mind, in her thoughts, Jesus has failed her. And she can't figure it out. She can't understand it. So as we look at this story in verse 3, it says, therefore the sisters sent to him Jesus. They sent a messenger to Jesus. And in that message, it said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. See, that statement represented the hopes. It represented the prayers. It represented the anticipation of two sincere hearts that just knew that if they could get a hold of Jesus, they could call upon Jesus for help, that there would be an immediate response. One night, a little boy was frightened by thunder and lightning. He left his own bed and he crawled into the bed of his father. And the storm really increased in his fury, and thunder shook the house, and the little boy just couldn't sleep. Finally, he said to his father, he said, Daddy, is your face turned toward me? And his father says, yes, son. And then the little boy said, Daddy, Could I put my hand in your hand? And of course, the father said, sure, son, you can do that. And before you knew it, the little fella had fallen asleep. He knew that his father was watching over him. When trouble comes, may we remember that our Heavenly Father has His face turned toward us. That we can put our hand in His hand and we can be at peace. Amen. We learn a great lesson from Mary and Martha. We learn, first of all, that when trouble does come, we must turn to Jesus. We must do that. We must turn to Him in a special way when sickness or sorrow comes across our path. When Lazarus was sick, they knew what to do. They sent for Jesus. When trouble comes in our life, our very first thought should be, call on Jesus. Go to the Lord. Thank God for doctors. We thank God for hospitals and medicine. By the way, they're all just instruments, in my opinion, in God's hands, aren't they? They're instruments in God's hands. Our great need is for the Lord, isn't it? Our great need is to call on Him. But they called on Jesus, the two sisters did, but there was a very strange delay. In fact, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then it says, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Well, when you just read that sentence alone, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? He loved them, so he just stayed there rather than going to meet that need. That's really what it's saying, isn't it? See, the messenger that brought the message to Jesus, he came back to the home. He came back alone to Bethany. Jesus wasn't with him, was he? He came back and said, well, I gave him the message, but he didn't come. And all of a sudden, it was a painful disappointment to these two sisters that expected Jesus just to come walking in the door at any moment. When Lazarus died, you know the grief of those sisters had to be intensified. They're grieving, and you know immediately they had to be thinking, Jesus failed us. He let us down. To them, Jesus not coming when they called Him and asked for help, to them it meant it was a heartless, inexcusable thing. How could Jesus do that? I imagine that each time Mary considered the problem and considered what had happened, I'm sure there was a tendency for bitterness to just increase in her soul, and the darkness or the eclipse, the joy and the light left her soul. There was just a darkness there, a disappointment in this tragic event. It was the eclipse of her soul, the tragedy of her brother's death and the disappointment of Jesus not coming and His seeming indifference. Oh, what a shadow there was, at least for a moment in her life. Have you had those shadows in your life? Have you had those seasons, those moments, where it just seemed like you were counting on something happening, you were counting on an event or an answer or something, and it didn't happen? And if you weren't careful, there was a shadow, a darkness that would begin to creep in. The problems of sickness and suffering, they're always before us, aren't they? If they're not in our family, they're in others that we know and love. But when eager, anxious prayers remain unanswered, even the strongest faith can be shaken, can't it? It can. Perhaps some of us are here today that are dealing with unanswered prayers. Maybe there's some here today dealing with a tendency to battle doubt or disappointment or even a sense of betrayal or perhaps even a little element of bitterness has crept into your soul. Jesus deliberately stayed away, didn't He? The Bible says in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And listen to what Jesus said, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, that you may believe. It begins to tell the rest of the story, doesn't it? In her extreme pain and anguish, Mary forgot to consider that the action by Jesus had been dictated by the wisdom of God. It was His wisdom that He delayed, but she didn't consider that in all of her pain, did she? After this, He said to disciples, He said, "Let us go to Judea again." Now Martha, as soon as she heard He was coming, went and met Him, but Mary was sitting in the house. That's what the verse says that we just read. Mary leaves. She hears that Jesus is finally coming, and she runs to meet Him even before He gets into town. Well, where's Mary? She's just sitting in the house. Why did Mary linger in the home? Why didn't she just stay there alone? Martha went to meet Jesus, and in that meeting, Jesus said that Lazarus would rise again. And Mary just assumed that Jesus was talking about the resurrection. I don't think she ever really understood what Jesus was trying to tell her. Then Jesus, you know, He said this incredible word that's in this verse that we know and we love, where He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." That's our promise today, is it not? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that promise. Well, Martha didn't get it. She didn't quite understand it. You know, her response was, she said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I believe that You're the Christ. You're the Son of God who's come into the world." She still didn't understand. But what she said was a great declaration. "I believe You're the Christ. I believe You're the Son of God." Well, don't you know at this interaction with Martha that Jesus asked her about Mary? Can't you just see Him? "Well, Martha, why isn't Mary with you? Where's Mary?" And Martha had to explain the cause of her sister's absence. But listen very carefully to what happened next. Martha leaves Jesus and goes back home alone. And she finds Mary. And she tells Mary, she says, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." The teacher has come and is calling for you. Now, the Word of God tells us that Jesus didn't go back to the town of Bethany with Martha. He stayed right where He was. Wouldn't common sense tell you that once Martha was there, that He would just walk back with Martha to their home and be there and comfort and bless both the sisters? But He didn't do that. He stayed right where He was. In fact, verse 30 says, "Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met Him." He stayed right there. Martha went without Him, and Martha says to Mary, "Jesus is calling for you." And He's there waiting, isn't He? He hasn't moved. He stayed right there where Martha met Him. I want you to look at these next words with me on the PowerPoint. "At that moment, the wisdom and love of Christ was demonstrated as He was aware that the raising of Lazarus would not be as difficult as the healing of a wounded heart." Let that just sink in for a minute. Jesus understood this. He understood that the free will of a man or a woman to receive or not to receive, to respond or not to respond, can be a greater task than the miracle of raising someone from the dead. He had called for Mary, hadn't He? He knew the condition of her heart. He knew that at that moment, He understood that Mary had to come to Him. Mary had to respond to His call. And that bitterness and the hurt that was in her, Jesus understood that. He called for her. He waited for her to respond to the message, "Jesus is calling for you." He stopped His journey as if to say, nothing matters more right now than the hurting and the confused heart and soul of Mary. Let that just sink in for a minute. Nothing mattered more to Jesus at that very moment than the hurting and confused heart and soul of Mary. So gentle and loving is the heart of our Savior. He does not force Himself on us, but He is always calling and waiting for you and for me to come to Him and to respond to His call to us. Scripture tells us that as soon as Mary heard that Jesus was calling her, her great love for Him swept aside all hindrances of bitterness or feelings that she might have had. It says she arose quickly. She didn't wait around at all. She arose quickly and came to Him. Verse 32 then says that when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, the Bible says He saw her weeping, and the Jews that came with her weeping, it says that He groaned in His spirit and was troubled. I'm going to tell you, friends, when we fall at the feet of Jesus, when we fall at the feet of Jesus, weeping and crying out to Him, pouring our heart out to Him, it touches the heart of our Lord. Oh, it does. Whatever disappointment, whatever hurt, whatever doubt may have crept into our hearts, it will vanish at the feet of Jesus. It'll do it. Verse 35 then has one of the most profound and beautiful two words in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then in verse 38 we find that Jesus is so touched by the despair and the tears of those that He loved. It says, "And again, groaning in Himself, came to the tomb." The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God is weeping and crying and groaning in His spirit because He's so touched by compassion and love for those He loved that were hurting at that very moment. Can you just see that picture? Jesus crying and groaning in His spirit. Can I tell you, He's the same Jesus today. He's the same. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Jesus that we see in this story, weeping and groaning because of the needs of those around Him, He is unchanged. Hear me. Jesus is unchanged. The Jesus that we see there reaching out to the hurt of Mary is doing the same today, right now, to whoever, that whosoever would call upon the name of Jesus. And He's waiting. He's just waiting for them to come. He won't force Himself, but He's saying, "I'm here. My arms are open wide. Won't you come to Me?" Well, we know this beautiful story well. Jesus travels to the tomb. He tells them to roll away the stone. It's been 4 days. And Mary hollers out and says, "Lord," or excuse me, it was Martha. Martha spoke up and said, "Lord, there's a stench." As if He needed to be reminded that there was a stench. I can assure you that as He approached that grave, even with the stone still in its place, it wasn't airtight, sealed. It was just a stone rolled up in the place of where the entrance was into that cave. The body had been there for 4 days. The decomposition of tissue and muscle and organ and everything that's in a body, the massive level of decay that had already commenced in that tissue and flesh and muscle and organs of that body. Yes, there was a stench. Have you ever had a little mouse get in your house? Die inside one of the walls? Takes about 2 days, doesn't it? About 2 days later, you can smell it in that house, can't you? That's just a little mouse. This man had been in this tomb for 4 days. You cannot imagine the level of deterioration and decay in that body. And yet, Jesus lifted up His eyes. Look at this next verse here. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Then he cried out with a loud voice. It says, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Why did Jesus at that moment lift his head and say, Father, I thank you that you've heard me? You think of all the miracles he'd done where he simply touched someone that was blind and they could see. He touched someone that was crippled and they could walk. Somebody that was demon-possessed, he just touched them or spoke a word and they were delivered. But yet in this instance, he prayed to the Father. We read it earlier. He prayed because he wanted them to know that it was his Father that was the source of the power and the miracle. You remember, some people have said that some of the miracles Jesus had done was because it was the power of Satan in him. That's who was doing it. He wanted there to be no misunderstanding. He wanted everybody to understand that when Lazarus came forth from that grave, it was the power of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, that touched that rotting dead tissue in that body, and instantly dead, stinking tissue was alive and perfect. He stood up and walked out of that tomb. Hallelujah. So great is the power of God. And Jesus wanted everybody to know, because he knew that event would cause even the heart of Martha and Mary to finally get it. I don't think they really got it until then. I think they believed Jesus was from God and he was a great prophet, but I don't think they fully understood until that event had taken place. Tell you a true story. Many years ago, a fellow by the name of Christian Wilhelm was the king of Denmark. Christian Wilhelm, what a name. First name was Christian. Christian Wilhelm was king of Denmark from 1912 to 1947. One day he stopped at a street corner, and a streetcar was approaching at a very rapid pace. And suddenly, two little girls, about 4 or 5 years old, started to cross the street by themselves, and they didn't see that streetcar bearing down upon them. Well, the onlookers screamed in terror. It seemed as if the little girls were going to be crushed by the wheels of this streetcar. But suddenly, King Christian Wilhelm was standing on that corner. He lunged out, grabbed the girls by the arms, and pulled them back to safety. The little girls, as they grew up, they joyously told the story of how they had been saved from death by the king. That'd be quite a story to tell, wouldn't it? But folks, let me tell you, sin and death was bearing down on us and was going to take you and I to hell. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the mighty King, he rushed to his own death to save you and me forever. He did that for us. We've been saved by an everlasting salvation by King Jesus. Amen. The King of Kings. So in conclusion this morning, our vision and our understanding of this story of Mary and Martha. Most of the time we read this story in the Bible, our thoughts are just contained to the ideal of the tomb and the resurrection of Lazarus and the great miracle that it was. But Jesus, in this event, Jesus was looking beyond just the resurrection of Lazarus. He was looking at the transformation that was taking place in the hearts of the two sisters that he loved and to all that were there witnessing the miracle. Martha's declaration, as we read earlier, her declaration that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and the ideal that Mary would come and fall at the feet of Jesus, and the ideal that all the other Jews there, the Word of God tells us in verse 45, all those that were there and saw it, it says, they believed in him. They believed he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And it gave evidence, all those things gave evidence to the real purpose of the miracle that day, didn't it? The victory that was won in the souls far exceeded the triumph of the tomb. The victory that happened when their lives and their souls were changed because they dared believe in Christ was a greater victory than just the resurrection of a man that had been dead. And for this very reason, Jesus had delayed his response to the sister's prayer. Because had he immediately responded and came, they would have lost one of the greatest blessings of their lives. Would you let that sink in your life for just a moment? If Jesus had answered certain prayers in my life when I cried out to them, I can tell you, looking back, I can assure you that I would have lost some of the greatest blessings in my life as I look back. Perhaps that's true for some of you. Look at this last PowerPoint with me this morning. The eclipse of the heart of Mary was just a shadow. It was just a temporary darkness at the moment of incredible despair. But it passed away, didn't it? See, Mary's path to the sunshine and light back in her heart and soul was that she heard Jesus calling. She saw Him and she fell at His feet. And the pathway to Christ, it's never been overgrown. It's never had anything in its path. It remains open for all who are weary and hurting and wounded travelers. It's still open today, isn't it? Many of us remember singing this song, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. You know that song well. A lot of times that song is played at evangelistic meetings, and it's the ideal of people are being invited to come forward because they don't know Christ as their Savior. But see, in this story, in this example today, Jesus called Mary, didn't He? Now, they were already well acquainted. She loved Him. She knew Him so well. She knew Him intimately. But His call for her was for the healing of a troubled heart. His call for her was to remove the eclipse of her soul, wasn't it? And He's calling. He's calling today if we're listening. He's calling for all that need His comfort. He's calling for all that need healing to respond to Him, to reach out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I know You're calling me back to my faith. You're calling me to trust in You. You're calling me to live my life with the passion and the heart of love for You. I'll tell you, He's calling that soul that's still waiting for a prayer to be answered, just like Mary was waiting. He's calling that soul that's waiting for that prayer to be answered, and that person maybe has begun to hold back just a little bit and begin to wonder if God's ever going to come through and wonder about your own faith, and that and perhaps there's a little bit of a shadow or an eclipse in your heart because of that. Can I tell you this morning, Jesus is here. His arms are open wide, and He's calling. He's calling, and He's saying, don't you dare give up or give in or forget how much I love you. Don't you know that I heard that prayer? I understand your cry. I understand the plea from your heart. I've heard it, and I'm here from you. I'm going to love you and be with you. Trust me, He says, trust my wisdom. Trust my understanding. Trust my timing. Can you do that today? Can you trust Him totally? Oh, He's here. He's here this morning with arms open wide. Don't miss this opportunity just to say to the Lord, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for that little shadow in my heart, that little bit of doubt, that little uncertainty, that disbelief. Help me trust You wholeheartedly. And love You wholeheartedly. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God's blessing and His healing and His Spirit can touch the heart that's so dark or full of unbelief. And He can touch the heart that's just beginning to grow cool. Cause it to warm back with a spirit and a fire from God. And remind you that you're a child of God and He loves you. Let that just sink into your spirit today. Would you do that? Bow your heads with me this morning. Thank You, Father.